lightly to be in this position. I don't take it lightly for Pastor Martin and Lady Martin to look upon me to bring the word on this morning. If we could just bow our heads real quick for a moment of prayer. Lord, we thank you for everything that you have done, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for bringing us up to this point in time of this week, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you that we are able to be here, to be able to be escaped or released from the pressures and the things that have bothered us throughout the week, Lord. We just thank you for a safe place. We thank you, Lord, for a place to be restored, a place to be refilled, and so that we may be able to go about next week and be strengthened and renewed, and we can be able to be refreshed and touch hearts and touch minds and touch people with what you have brought us on this morning. Oh God, we just thank you for everything that you have done, everything you're going to do, and everything that you have continued to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this morning, I like to be, like I always tell you guys, I like to be kind of transparent about myself, about my life, and whatever. I had already been dealing with some things throughout the week, and I hadn't really told anyone except the people who just was around at the time of dealing with those things. And I was just kind of getting up in the morning on yesterday, and then I got a call from Pastor Martin. He don't normally physically call me. He'll text me and he'll talk to me that way, but he called me and he said, "You laying down?" And I was like, I thought he was gonna drop a serious bomb on me. It is, I guess you can say, serious. But he told me, he said, "Hey, you know you're preaching tomorrow." I said, "Okay." And I said, he said, pretty much, "Are you ready?" And I said, "Well, you know," I said, "I'll be okay." And he said, now this is something that was, I know, ordained and know it was direct from God, because he said, "I want you to speak on something." And I said, he normally don't tell me that. He said, "I want you to speak on grace." And he don't know. I wanted to laugh right then. It, not in a moment of laughing at him, or it was a moment of laughing, because throughout the week, God had been talking to me about grace and what is it? Just diving a little bit deeper on grace and what it means and how does it configure and deal with us. He wanted me to dive in just a little bit deeper. And so there goes the things that plagued the week or happened throughout the week. And he said, "You okay?" I said, "Well, I've been having a stressful week." I said, "I had a stressful week." I said, he said, "Explain yourself." And I said, "It's been a spiritually stressful week. It's been a mentally stressful week. It's been a physically stressful week. It's just been a stressful week." And then he began to affirm how he says, you want to know I've been doing this for a little over 10 years now. He said, "You want to know how many times that has happened?" And it gave me a little bit more strength to know that I'm not alone, for one. I'm not alone in the spiritual realm, and I'm not here on the earthly realm. And that is where the message of grace and how he says, "I want you to bring it forth." Now the question is, and a lot of us have been taught about grace, and the question is, what is grace? What is grace? And we know, and what I have been taught, and I even looked it up, grace, and I broke it down. I didn't use a long definition. I broke it down to a shorter definition. But grace is the unmerited favor from God that we could do absolutely nothing to deserve. Why do we need grace? If we don't deserve it, why do we need it? Because truth be told, our lives are a mess. And getting, even when we become saved and become saved, our lives are still a work in progress. Our lives are still being structured by God. So why do we need it? It is a message to not only strengthen the relationship we have with God, but to strengthen our relationships we have with one another. Not just within these walls, but when we step outside these doors and we interact with individuals, we interact with people, we interact with the people that we don't necessarily like, is to help us. If you have your word, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to target it to the, if y'all got the NIV, New International Version. That's where we're coming from. If you got your word, it reads. Start at verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Thank God for grace. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Somebody say with me, grace, grace, grace. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Just focusing. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. We couldn't do it. We couldn't save ourselves. It is a gift. It is a gift from God that he gave us. And if you really know and understand a true gift, a true gift is not one of those things where it's a award. A true gift is you're going to give it whether the person deserves it or not, because you love them. And that's where it ties in the message. If I had the message, and the screen kind of says it, is grace. It's one word, grace. So when I read this scripture and I begin to apply it to me, Michael, and who I am and what I'm about, I say, oh God. Oh God. My head goes down a bit. Because then I think about the things and the errors and the things that I've done and the things I know I think I should have been whooped for. I think you should have come down hard on me for. And he said, not this time, Mike, because I love you. Just repent and come back. How many times have we walked ourselves into a situation where we walk back on God and we just say, you know what? I don't care what you think. I don't care what you do. I don't care. I'm just going to do what I do. Even against his words and his wisdom and saying, you know what? Don't do it. I'm telling you, you're going to end up in a bad place. And we say, you know what? I'm going to do it anyways. And he says, you know what? My grace is sufficient. It covers everything that you have done. It covers everything that you have done. And all I ask you to do is repent. And then sometimes we even repent and then we're still expecting, where's the wrath? Where is the wrath? Where is the punishment? Where is the whippings? We know I don't know about everybody else, but me as a child, I seemed like I got a whooping for everything. For everything. It felt like, and sometimes my mother, she was real good for it. She told me, she said, I'm whooping you for the good and the bad. I said, how you get whooping for the good? She said, I'm whooping you for the stuff that I saw you do, and I'm whooping you for the stuff that I didn't see you do. I said, wow, this is crazy. And how good is it to think about that God don't do that to us all the time? That we walk ourselves into mess. We walk ourselves into situations. And then all of a sudden, we come back to him and say, well, God, are you going to do anything? And he says, you just keep going. Don't worry about that. Because I know when I'm thinking about the whooping, my mama supposed to give me, she said, I'm going to get you, boy. You ain't got it bad in church. You ain't got in trouble in church. I'm going to get you when you get home. So the rest from the time she says that to the time you get home, you're thinking about the whooping. And it's so much that goes on in between that time and when you actually get home that you miss out on so much. But his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. So the question is, we said, what is it? And why do we need it? We need it to be saved. And so the third question I ask, what do we do with it? Knowing we have grace. Knowing we have grace. And that's what this week came in for me. And I'm glad we had the discussion in the leadership meeting this morning. And whether it be something that it be a trial or it be tribulation or it be something that you actually did and you just getting back what you deserve. Or you did, your actions actually garnered up everything that happened. What do we do with the grace after we receive grace? Our job as we receive grace, and we are to be more like Jesus, that is being more like Jesus, even with our grace. So when he gives us grace, we got to give it to others. And I'm not going to lie to you, because I'm one of the ones, I'm real hard. Admittedly, my wife got on me about it, my sister get on me about it, Pastor Martin Show get on me about it. Everybody that gets around me, I'm very hard, and even breaking down being hard, it comes down and says, will you have grace for others? Will you have grace for others who you say, I think they don't deserve this kind of treatment? Even though I got away with it and I didn't get in trouble, they don't deserve it because I see it. It's grace. It's the grace. It's the grace. God says, I gave it to you. I did it for you. You have to do it for others. You have to do it for others. Because at the end of the day, we walk around like our heads because we got it together in our eyes. In our eyes, we have it together. We are no longer making mistakes. And so we begin to get on this high pedestal or this high seat, and we sometimes start to look down. And we look down and say, hey, you need to get it together, brother. You need to get it together. And you begin to chastise and whoop every chance you get. And all of a sudden, you sit back and say, well, they ain't getting it together. Now I cut myself off. And God says, no, that's not the way I want you to do it. That's not the way I want you to do it. He says, my grace, the things in which I chose not. And God sometimes do this to me. He'll show me a blip of things he let me get away with. He'll say, yep, remember that? Remember that? He said, I remember that. He said, I remember those things. He said, but the thing about it is, I don't hold them against you. Why are we so different? And so the love of Jesus that he wants us to have coming, he wants us to have the love of Christ, like Christ loved the church, like Christ and God have love for us. He wants us to be able to extend that thing out to the others. So why is it so important that the grace go abound? It goes out, it go outward. We go and we talk about in what? And I'll break it down into one box. I had several things. I said, grace in what? Grace in what? Grace in what? No, I put it in one little area. Grace in relationship. Because whether you have a wife, you have a husband, you have mother, you have father, brother, sister, friend, auntie, nephew. If you have all of these, they are considered relationship. And guess what? It's going to take grace to actually be able to have those healthy relationships. Because everybody's not going to get it right. Everybody's not going to get it right in the first setting. Everybody's not going to get it right. And all of a sudden, we who think we have it right, we come down and say, you know what? Since you don't have it right, I'm cutting myself off. What if God did that to us? What if God said, you know what, Mike? I'm going to let you know you got one more time to screw up. And when you screw up, I'm done. What if that was the case? And God literally have to show it to me like that, cut and dry, because I am the type that will want to go back and forth. And God have to show me cut and dry and say, Mike, this is how serious it is. And when he show it to me, then I have to be quiet. And so now you talk about, hey, listen. Wife, I understand you know, we had a spat, we had this, but it's all good. We get over it. We'll be okay. That grace and wanting to reach out and wanting to pull back from or shorten the love, we ain't going to give you the same love because, you know what, you ain't lining up. You just ain't lining up the way that I think you should. So since you ain't lining up, I'm going to just have to go ahead and, you know what, I'm going to have to show my love for you. And God showed me that all throughout the week. So I said, Lord, what is it? What is it that you want us to do? How is it that you want us to show and continue with the grace but without going and being so hard and critical? And he told me this, and I'm glad it was confirmed this morning in the leadership meeting also when Rick said this, he said, consistency. He said, grace and consistency. And I said, so explain to me what is the consistency you're looking for? He said, in the same way in which I showed you, I don't come down on you. That's the same way you have to be. I explain it to you. You know the way. And you just leave it alone and let me work. Grace and consistency. And then all throughout the week, this whole week, from seemingly Monday through all the way up to this point, it was tested. It kept coming up. And all of a sudden, come right in your face. And next thing you're looking at it and say, I want to do it so bad. And then he said, grace and consistency. And then you have, yes, God. Yes, God. By grace through faith we are saved. So without the grace, we couldn't be saved. Without the grace, we couldn't line up with what he wants us to do. It is no way possible. It is a gift that we didn't deserve. He gave it to us just because he loved us. That's the same way we have to do with others. Because we love you. I don't care what, if you're white, you're black, you're Hispanic, race, color, creed, it don't matter. I love you and I extend my grace out to you because I love you. Just the same way God loves us. And some of us struggle with it. Some of us struggle with that because all of a sudden it takes us out of a comfort zone that we're used to. Some of us are used to just being by ourselves. Some of us are used to saying, you know what, I don't need people around. I don't need people around. I don't, better yet, it's better when they're not around. So what is it to just cut them off? And I'm finding out that in the time that we're living in now, where they're not going to come to the church, where you have to go out and get them, where you have to literally step out your comfort zone to go get them, it's going to take grace to do that. It's going to take opening yourself up, and you're going to open yourself up to some things that you may not agree with, and you may sit back and say, you know what, I'm not used to that. And he says, you know what, but that's the way it's going to be. That's the way I need you to be in reaching these people and bringing them to Christ. Bringing them to Christ. Grace and consistency. That's what he wants from us. That's what he wants from us when dealing with the people and dealing with everyone. I was reading and I said, you know, I don't know if I want to necessarily add that to the message because of the fact that it was some more grace talking points. And I said, this time around, I said I wouldn't add them, but the thing that he showed me about the grace scripture or the grace topic is this, is that it will pull you away from things in which you are used to doing or how you are used to handling situations. One of the topics of it's been throughout this week. I said, well, it's crazy. It seems almost crazy. It's about we're not the same. It's not we're not the same individual. Your personality is not mine. Your personality is not mine. And all of a sudden, how do we make it work? How do we make it work to where we can be able to work together? And that's not just a marriage situation. That's a relationship situation. I'm finding out that building strong relationship is not about me winning. It's not about me winning. It's more about me extending grace to you because at the end of the day, we have the shortcomings. At the end of the day, we have the things that pull us and the things that we don't agree with. But do you have enough grace? Or can you show enough grace to be able to put that aside and say, I still love you? Romans chapter 5. This is my final scripture. Romans chapter 5. Go with me there. I am not going to be up here long. I promise you that. Romans chapter 5, starting with verse 17. Reads, for if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So you could go back to the beginning, through the transgressions of Adam, through the things that Adam messed up with. How much did God come back and send Jesus, and Jesus come back to cover all in which he messed up in? Through his The love of Christ covered for all that he has done and transpired between the time of Adam and then the time when Jesus came back to redeem man. Do it not cover it all? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. Is it not what we're fighting for today? Is it not what we're dealing with today? Where is the grace? I stand boldly before your eyes. Where is the grace? Where is the grace? And it starts from the pulpit to the back door. It starts from us who is leaders and following Christ. Where is the grace? You'll get up and you'll hear a lot of different things and you say, wow, what makes you so different from those who say they're not saved? The ones who said they are not in Christ. The one who have no issue in saying, I'm not saved. The one who have no issue in saying, you know what, Jesus ain't even real. The ones who is set apart, we are to be set apart from. What makes us different? That's the just watching the room. Just watching the room. He said, I did this already. If you just humble yourselves, if you humble yourselves, turn from the wicked ways, seek my face, I heal the land. These are things. And we have not yet reached that point to where we are comfortable stepping out of that. Stepping out of that and saying, you know what? I'm good. We good. We are different, but we good. Verse 19. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Go back. Just because he does it doesn't mean I have to. Just because they do it don't mean I have to. But still, I step back and say, because God has given me a gift. God has given me a gift or a way out or a way to be able to come to people. Now I am to take that same gift and give it to others. And I'm supposed to pass it on for Ministry of Reconciliation. We are giving back gift. Today, we're giving back gift. I mean, grace. We're giving back grace today. We're putting more emphasis on grace. And I was, be honest with you, I was, when I got that call from Pastor Martin, I said, you know it's about grace, but I know it's just about grace for me and you, God. It's just about the grace between me and you, ain't it? Ain't that's what it is? He said, if that was your thought process, then you have been wrong for a long time. If that has been your thought process, then you have been wrong for a very long time. And he said, that grace don't stop just with me and you. The grace don't stop with where I have given you that. It has become to where you need to now give it out to the others. You need to now soften your heart and show grace. You need to now close your mouth and show grace. You need to now just sit back and show grace. It ain't about you. It ain't about you standing up and always saying how you feel. It's about sometimes being quiet and just showing grace. Hard pill to swallow. Hard pill to swallow. But I thank God for the grace. I thank God for the grace that he allowed me to be able to make it up to this far, to be able to stand in this pulpit and to actually talk about grace and be able to share it with you guys. To share it. Hard pill to swallow. Look in yourself in the mirror. saying I'm not lining up like I thought I was, saying, you know what, I didn't check as many boxes as I thought I did. But God says, my grace is sufficient. My grace even covers that, even those shortcomings. It covers that. But at the end of the day, now you are woke. Now you are awake. Now you are attentive. Now you actually can, I can use you. I can now use you. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The law, verse 20, was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a message to the masses. As we step out the doors today, on how we deal with our people, how we deal with others, how we deal with everything moving forward. Because the grace has covered us. Now it's important for us to understand that we, God has given us grace, and now we can extend that grace to others and being consistent with it. No, it's not about not being rightful and saying, you know what, this is wrong. But when you say it's wrong, and they become to the knowledge of it, now we have to let God begin to work. Now we got to let God begin to take hold and do the work. We are supposed to be out there just, hey, this is gospel. This is what we are supposed to do. And then we let God do the rest. Because you know why? We have no ability. And Pastor Mara, he has been in my ear about it. He says, Messiah complex. And I really never dove into the Messiah complex. And it's been raining, though. It kept coming. Messiah complex. You can't save them. You can't be the one who saved them. You won't be able to save them. And you won't be able to save them all. They may, your words may touch them, and they may still not get saved. God is the one who saves. God is the one who gives that ultimate grace. He's the one who gives that greatest gift that no one but deserves. Even if we're walking and want to be more Christ-like, he is the one that still does it all. But we have to be good stewards of the grace that he has given us. We have to be the good stewards of the grace that he has shown and bestowed on us. And at the end of the day, let him be glorified. Let him be glorified. Let him do the work. And we keep moving forward. Amen. I'm wrapping it up. Grace and consistency. That's where we're going. That's where we are. We show grace. We show consistency. And everything that we is God is going, continue to work on that. Continue to work on it. It may hit you like it hit me. It may hit you very well like it has hit me. And say, you know what? Maybe I wasn't treating my mom right. Maybe I'm showing a little too much harshness to the situation. Maybe I ain't treating my spouse right. Maybe my best friend, she might have messed up, he might have messed up, but maybe I was just came down a little too hard. And I say what I say and I move on, but that's where the grace kicks in. Where we're not being so badgering, we're being consistent and we're letting God do the work. Lord, I thank you for grace. That's it. I thank you for grace. I hope somebody got something out of this. I hope somebody able to take what they have heard, take what God is pouring into your heart, or what he might have been pricking in your heart already, and just confirmation of what we need to do. And I thank you, God, for using me as a vessel. As a vessel. Lord, I thank you that you didn't give up on me. I thank you that You continue to work on me. In spite of my shortcomings, in spite of the things I struggle with, you continue to work on me. You have never taken your grace away from me, Lord. And I just give you praise and I give you thanks for that. Lord, I ask you, Lord God, to shower us, Lord God, with even more grace. Lord God, help us to not just take and hoard it up. And Lord God, help us just to be able to spread it about and spread it around to the people who are close to you. Maybe you have someone that you have been too hard on. Lord God, we ask you that you continue to work on us. To hold on to the belief, Lord God, that you have all power in your hands and you can fix it all. Lord, I give you praise, Lord God. I give you honor. I give you glory, Lord God, for everything that you're doing in this church, Lord. I give you the praise. I give you glory for everything that you're doing in the world, Lord God. It seems bleak, Lord God. It seems crazy, Lord God. But I thank you, Lord God, that you still shining through the darkness, Lord. I thank you right now, Lord God, that you are continuing to bless us, Lord God, in spite of the pandemic, Lord. In spite of what is still going on, Lord God, I still thank you right now. Lord God, I just thank you that people are even at home, Lord. The people at home. The people who decide they don't even want to come to church. Let us still show grace. The people who know they may be disobedient, let us continue to show grace. Because, Lord God, we was there once. And now that we've come to the knowledge, Lord God, help us to reconcile the ones who is following the same path. Let us help us to reconcile them back to you. Help us to reconcile them back to you, Lord God, and let you fix it like you can fix it. Only you can, Lord, like only you can. We can only bring them to you, Lord God. But as we bring them to you, Lord God, continue to work on them. Continue to strengthen us. Continue to guide us in all truth and all righteousness. Lord God, we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Minister Michael Jordan. And even as we close out on this wonderful and blessed Sunday morning, do not forget that grace is God's unmerited favor. You want me to put it in non-church talk? Another chance. It's another chance. The cutoff culture is going to leave a lot of lonely people in this life. And I talk about, you know, people who chronically do you wrong and things like that. That's one thing. I'm talking about people who are close to you that tell you the truth, to tell you about yourself and have the courage to basically fall out with you because you're going down the wrong path. If you put up all those walls, you build yourself a prison and you're the only prisoner. So don't expect for God to give you thousands and thousands of chances when you do wrong and do him wrong, but then when it's time for you to give someone else another chance, you cut them off and act like you don't even know. Like we're the only ones who get our backs stabbed by other people. As if we never had the knives or scissors in our hands. And we have. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is simply another chance. Grace is when you don't get what you do deserve. That's why Christians don't believe in karma. Karma is when you get what you deserve every single time. There's like a major wave of that over the last couple of years, but I think people are starting to understand that grace is different from karma. The Bible says you reap what you sow. But that was in the Old Testament, and that does apply. But because of Jesus Christ, sometimes you get good things even though you do wrong. And the effect that that's supposed to have on the child of God is when you get something good when you know you deserve something bad, that should have a humbling effect on you. Like when you didn't get caught with weed in the car. Like, you know, not getting called out in the middle of church when you're doing things that are inappropriate. And being put on blast. Nobody likes being put on blast. Even when we do deserve it, right? So I'm so thankful that God gives us a second chance. Come on, stand to your feet. We're done. We're done. See, like Mike, my dad was old school. I think I got spanked by my mom maybe like 2 or 3 times in my life with a switch, a couple of switches. But she was like Jesus. She was the intercessor to keep me from experiencing the wrath of the Father. Sometimes it worked. Most of the time it did not. But he was raising a man, and men have to deal with things in a very unique way that in this world. But I am so thankful for my mother, because my mother was like grace and mercy. My dad was like the wrath. But both of them together, you end up with a solid person, because it's a balance of both. If God just gives you a whole bunch of chances and, you know, you just say God loves you and that's it, don't get that twisted. God can end all of our lives in a snap. So don't play with God. That's one category. Don't play with God. But on the other end, God knows that we're dust and he knows that we're not perfect. And so he gives us another chance. And as the minister was saying, don't forget, hey, everybody, pay attention. Make sure that you give someone else a second chance too. A second chance. I remember one time when Lady Martin did something early in our relationship when we were dating. And I was thinking about cutting her off back then because I got hurt by an ex prior to that, deeply. And I, in my mind, saw some of the same type of behaviors pop up in Lady Martin, and I was going to just say, forget it, I don't even want to have nothing to do with you. Even to the point of even wanting to talk to somebody else, and did. But then I remember my brother with his peanut head self coming through the door back in the day. We had an apartment together while we were in college. Q137. Oh Lord, those walls could talk. And he came through those doors. And I was like, well, Andre, Alton, that's my brother's name. I don't know if I should even try to talk to her anymore, because she did something that really kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I'm using the rated G version of what I was saying right then. But he was like, Andre, why are you acting so silly? I can see how that is. Andre, why are you acting so silly? Give her another chance. She's good for you. And I just was like, well, I don't want to. Like the little TikTok videos. I don't want to give her another chance. I don't want to do it. That's how I felt. But I did. And now I have beautiful children. She's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Brought me balance. All because of grace. How much more should you give somebody a second chance? Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. God keep you. This is my prayer. Amen. Everybody, we're done. We're done for the day. There's nothing else that's going on for the day. Don't forget, next week we have our Bible study Wednesday nights at 7:00 p.m. Make sure that you tune in online. Share the message at that moment in time. And also, don't forget that our ladies will be having events. Just watch the video. You see a lot of the announcements that have been moving forward as well. So thank you, brother, for the message on today. And you will be hearing other voices from other individuals inside of the place today. Mother's Day is coming up, so I'll be tapping on a woman, Sister Winsley, to speak for this upcoming Sunday's Mother's Day special. There's not a woman alive that could take my mother's place. And so I would love for a woman to be able to speak to our women about motherhood and a mother's place. And so thank you, Sister Winsley, for accepting the invitation on next Sunday. I appreciate you. Thank you for being gracious as well. All right. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, Love God. Love people. Be blessed, people.